bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Bartley. On my right is Judge Greenberg, and on my left is Judge Toth. We're here today for the matter of Percivelli versus Wilkie, which is docket number 183242. And the issue before us has to do with the interpretation of VA regulation 3.652 and whether the veteran's rep, Mr. Percivelli, is entitled to fees for work related to obtaining the proper eval of the veteran's condition. Counsel for the parties, please state your names.
Michael Just of Just Law for the appellant, James Percivelli.
Thank you, Mr. Just.
Justin Elias for the secretary, and with me is Richard Daly, Deputy Chief Counsel for the secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Elias. Each party will have 30 minutes to present their arguments. Mr. Just, would you like to reserve any time?
Yes, please. 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. Don, please make that happen. Okay. Mr. Just, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Department of Veterans Affairs issued a rating decision in January 2014 proposing to discontinue the veterans' TDIU benefits. In April 2014, VA issued a rating decision confirming and continuing the TDIU award. As with all rating decisions, it included a letter outlining the veterans' appellate rights with instructions on how to file a notice of disagreement. Thereafter, the veteran's representative, Mr. Percivelli, exercised the veteran's appellate rights and filed a timely notice of disagreement explicitly raising the issue of entitlement to special monthly compensation. In accordance with well-established case law, entitlement to SMC is to be considered whenever a veteran becomes eligible without the need for a separate claim. In November 2014, VA issued a rating decision awarding the veteran entitlement to special monthly compensation in accordance with the arguments raised by Mr. Percivelli in his notice of disagreement. The April 2014 notice of disagreement was timely and met all legal requirements for a valid notice of disagreement under Section 20.201. As such, Mr. Percivelli has met all legal requirements for fees under Section 14.636. Namely, VA has issued a rating decision, a notice of disagreement was filed with respect to the rating assigned, and Mr. Percivelli has complied with all attorney fee requirements.
Now, you're presenting your argument as though the 2014 decision was just a regular old rating decision, but doesn't it fall under 3.652 as just a determination as to whether continued eligibility was warranted?
Well, Section 3.652 is consistent with the appellate rights that were asserted in this case and the ability to raise the issue of entitlement to SMC at any given time without the need for a separate claim.
Right. Well, that's true. We have case law on that. But how far would you go? It strikes me that this could be, if we took your interpretation, might do a lot of veterans harm rather than good, because VA would essentially be doing a increased rating claim and development even where the veteran hadn't asked for an increase. And a lot of veterans, as you know, some may actually have gotten worse, but some may be better than their rating. So, should VA just basically, whenever they have to determine continued eligibility, just develop it and reassess all of the veterans' disabilities and go through a whole, you know, the whole process of establishing the veterans' rating?
Yeah, so it's very common that VA issues rating decisions sua sponte. So in, for example, after scheduling a routine exam to assess a veteran's condition, proposed severance, proposed reduction, this case is no different. A rating decision was issued that pertained to the veteran's disability rating, and the issue of entitlement to special monthly compensation can be raised at any time. So certainly to answer your question,
so, as far as... In your understanding, I mean, has 3.652 ever been used by VA as a means to just do a full reassessment of all the ratings, the effective dates, anything like that?
I think I would agree it's too broad to say that you have to do a full, complete reassessment of every rating the veteran has. Special monthly compensation is unique, similar to how TDIU is unique, in that it is not it does not require a new claim. Issues such as special monthly compensation and TDIU can be raised at any time, and that's been held over.
I mean, it's an ancillary benefit, but that benefit is normally made in conjunction with a rating decision in terms of, you know, maximizing the compensation a veteran could receive. Sometimes they're entitled to SMC in addition to their rating, other times not. Once those rating decisions are final, though, is the SMC issue still a live issue?
It is in this case because a notice of disagreement was filed. So it was a timely notice of disagreement that was submitted subsequent to the rating decision. So certainly it's not, it's not the case where this is an untimely notice of disagreement. There was a rating decision issued, and Mr. Percivelli exercised the veteran's appellate rights and raised the issue of entitlement to special monthly compensation.
But you're not, I mean, is a notice of disagreement supposed to raise an issue, or is it just supposed to express disagreement with the decision that was made?
I think in this case there's little, if any, distinction between the two. The notice of disagreement was disagreeing with the rating that the veteran was assigned by VA, and it just so happened that that disagreement raised the issue of special monthly compensation. It brought to VA's attention the fact that the veteran had been rated incorrectly, which was subsequently remedied by the VA.
So what do you want us to do?
Recognize...
What order would you like the court to issue?
That Mr. Percivelli submitted a valid, timely notice of disagreement with the assigned rating in accordance with the appellate rights that he was afforded in the April 2014 rating decision.
And therefore?
And therefore is entitled to fees.
What about the veteran?
Well, the veteran, again, in the subsequent rating decision of November 2014, VA acted on the notice of disagreement filed by Mr. Percivelli, and they awarded special monthly compensation.
What's the legal theory, if there is one, or what's the argument for the proposition that the veteran should not be financially harmed and the representatives should be adequately compensated?
That's under Section 14.636 is so long as the representative meets the requirements for collecting fees, that is something that the representative is entitled to. So again, there was a rating decision in this case, a notice of disagreement was filed, and Mr. Percivelli has met the attorney fee requirements.
But the board here seemed to construe the NOD as a new claim for an increased rating. And then granted it in the first instance.
Yes, that's correct.
Right? If they had denied that claim, and then the attorney had filed an NOD on that claim and prevailed later, there's no question attorney's fees would have been warranted.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So let's just look at the regulation 3.652. It's basically about continued certification of continued eligibility. And they sent him this form about his employment status, and he filled out section 2 saying that he wasn't working, or someone filled it out for him. I'm unclear about that. But so that was the only new evidence that was received. And then we moved from, so he filled out the certification. He sent it in. So just talk to me about the language that's used in 3.652B and how you get to where you're going here.
So as I stated previously, the language under 3.652B is entirely consistent with what took place here. 3.652B says that when certification is received, benefits will be adjusted if necessary in accordance with the facts found. Benefits is plural. It's recognizing that there may be more than one thing that needs to be adjusted.
But what, I mean, what were the facts found here? I mean, obviously there's the veteran checked a box, or the guardianship checks a box. What other factual findings were there?
As exercised or as raised in the notice of disagreement, Mr. Percivelli brought to the attention of the Raiders that the existing evidence of record, in other words, the facts found, demonstrated entitlement to special monthly compensation. And then VA acted on that notice of disagreement. They reviewed the evidence, and they recognized that, yes, there was an incorrect rating, and the veteran was entitled to SMC.
So, the fact that you filed what you're calling a notice of disagreement, if VA had done it the right way here, meaning you wouldn't have had to file an NOD, what should they have done in 2014? Is it a February 2014 decision?
The ultimate decision awarding special monthly compensation was in November 2014.
No. But I'm talking about it looks like it was an April 22nd, 2014 decision.
The confirming and continuing of the TDIU.
Right, and that's what you filed the notice of disagreement to. So you're disagreeing. What should they have done in this decision that they didn't do that caused you to file the notice of disagreement?
Well, in the original rating decision from years prior, if they had reviewed the evidence correctly, special monthly compensation would have been awarded from prior to Mr. Percivelli even engaging in representing the veteran. As soon as Mr. Percivelli entered as the veteran's representative, right before the April 2014 rating decision was issued. So then at that point, that is when he was able to look at the rating decision, look at the file, and realize that the veteran was rated incorrectly. So
now, but what should VA have done here to comply with 3.652B?
They should have recognized
in April.
Yes, they should have recognized that the veteran was entitled to special monthly compensation based on the evidence that existed at that time.
And would so you're getting that duty from the language of B, benefits will be adjusted.
Yes, sir.
So they're supposed to do a look at the whole claims file. Reassess the disability? Should they have been looking for whether he was entitled to 100% scheduler as opposed to TDIU? Would it extend that far, look back for an adjustment?
Yes, ma'am. I would agree that, again, it doesn't extend so far as recalculating all of the veteran service-connected disabilities and the scheduler ratings for those disabilities. I think special monthly compensation is, again, unique in that it can be raised and needs to be considered and addressed by VA whenever a veteran becomes eligible. I think that's very important because the burden is not placed on the veteran with regards to special monthly compensation to file a claim or to initiate a claim. And here, the veteran's entitlement to special monthly compensation was explicitly raised and brought to VA's attention by Mr. Percival.
I'm still having trouble with the disconnect between what the rating decision, their conclusion, and the scope of that decision, and what Mr. Percivelli wrote in the NOD. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it an NOD. So they don't seem to connect. You know, it's like ships passing in the night. One was about, are we going to continue your TDIU? I have some problems with the form that they sent out, because, of course, your employment status really is not necessarily a reflection of whether you are TDIU. But at any rate, putting that aside, still, the issue that they were addressing in this rating decision was continued entitlement to TDIU. And the NOD didn't have to do with that issue.
Yes, Your Honor. So as I mentioned earlier, this is really no different than any other rating decision that's issued sua sponte by VA. So VA frequently will issue rating decisions assessing severance, reduction. They send veterans for periodic examinations to assess their disabilities. And it's not necessary, and it does not always happen, that notice of disagreements that raise ancillary or inferred issues, such as entitlement to TDIU or special monthly compensation, were already addressed in those rating decisions. Those are additional issues, special monthly compensation, that can be raised regardless of what the rating decision entails and encompasses in its narrow scope.
I don't see how this wouldn't, in a sense, sort of eliminate the 1 year date on the timeliness of NODs, right? Because if you could use an SMC, this sort of periodic, the certification, and then just do a blanket disagreement with it, it would, in a sense, retroactively place every decision, however far back into kind of an appellate status for the purpose of, certainly for the purpose of attorney's fees.
I'm sorry, I don't think I'm following that.
Well, I think it's, VA regulations, I think it's 14.636, right? And it basically says that NOD has to be filed within a year of the ratings decisions for the purposes of attorney's fees later, right? And as I see it, you know, the VA periodically reaches out to claimants to check on their eligibility for benefits. And here, you know, he prevailed in that adjudication. And so basically, my point is that I don't see how at any point if an attorney were merely to disagree with that determination and then sort of reference decisions made years ago, that wouldn't then sort of put it back into, that wouldn't sort of eliminate the one-year requirement that the notice of decision identify specific issues and be timely filed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, well, correct me if I'm not following, but here Mr. Percivelli filed a notice of disagreement in a timely fashion with the April
14th. As to that narrow issue,
yeah,
sure.
As to that narrow issue of entitlement to SMC. So this is not a situation where the notice of disagreement was retroactively filed in some way, you know, for the original rating decision. Then it would have been untimely. Certainly if it was, you know, 3 years after a rating decision and they said, you should have addressed SM special monthly compensation, then you do not have a timely notice of disagreement. Here, I think, you know, it's important to look no further than the fact that a rating decision was issued. That rating decision included with it, as all rating decisions do, appellate rights. And Mr. Percivelli expressed disagreement with the veteran's overall rating and compensation. And in accordance, and it's consistent with 3.652B, that those benefits were then subsequently adjusted to include special monthly compensation.
And so, but the past two benefits here that the representative is seeking to, the 20%, stretch beyond SMC. I mean, is the representative seeking only to get 20% of past due of the benefits related to SMC or to the other rating decisions that were reconsidered by VA?
Well, no, the way VA eventually arrived at awarding special monthly compensation was based on clear and unmistakable error. So VA went back and retroactively adjusted the veterans' benefits from the original rating years prior. So if I'm not mistaken, I believe Mr. Percivelli had already collected some fees for subsequent issues that he represented the veteran on, but certainly he's entitled to additional fees based on that subsequent award of special monthly compensation since he filed the notice of disagreement with the rating.
How much is actually involved here?
As far as
if we were to accept your argument, and we got a choice, veteran, lawyer, how much more does the lawyer get and the veteran not get?
Yeah. I would have to look up the exact figure. If I recall correctly, it's between $15,000 and $20,000.
Total.
If you give me 1 second, I could go ahead and
this is $19,800.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to go back to your statement about notices of disagreement. I think you were trying to say can raise new issues. I think it's true that if the issue involved is the veteran's evaluation of disability, then the NOD could certainly raise, oh, you didn't consider a secondary, you know, service connection. I guess it could. Or you didn't consider SMC or TDIU or, you know, anything that wasn't listed, that wasn't addressed in the rating decision. But here, the issue wasn't the veteran's evaluation. Was it? Is that your view is that this decision was not limited to certifying continued eligibility for TDIU. It was, in essence, a rating decision about his proper, appropriate evaluation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you have anything from the face of the decision the veteran certainly never filed a claim for increase or challenged his evaluation. So what makes you think this rating decision was addressing that broad issue instead of the narrower issue of continued TDIU eligibility?
And I do see I'm out of time, if I can have time to
answer. Yes. Don, if you could add 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. So here, again, it's the as you mentioned, I agree, the rating was at issue here. So they were addressing the veteran's eligibility for a total disability rating based on individual unemployability. And consistent with Eagles, Bradley, and even recently in the Payne case, it's recognized that special monthly compensation does not require the veteran to file a new claim. Once eligibility is placed at issue, it should be addressed and considered by the VA.
Yeah, I feel like we're talking across purposes, but but the decision was, would you agree with me that VA limited its decision to the issue of whether he had continuing eligibility for TDIU?
Yes, the decision was limited to whether there was eligibility for TDIU or continued entitlement, just as many rating decisions deal with confirming and continuing ratings. And with any of those decisions that confirm and continue ratings, a veteran may raise another issue, such as entitlement to unemployability or entitlement to SMC. So this situation is no different than any other rating decision confirming and continuing an existing rating.
And as far as I don't recall from your briefing, do you have any cases that directly address this issue of the where we have said that an NOD can pull in a broader issue than the rating decision actually addressed? And that would be a legitimate NOD?
So Akles, Bradley, Payne, I think that controls in this circumstance where an NOD can be filed that raises the issue of entitlement to special monthly compensation.
Were those cases specifically about NODs?
Well, ancillary issues such as unemployability or special monthly compensation can be raised at any time during the pendency of a claim, a service connection claim, an increased rating claim. Here, it just so happens that it was raised as part of a notice of disagreement with an existing rating decision.
And can I just clarify, Don, you'll have to add another minute or two. is this a question of plain language, or are you asking the court to not give the VA our deference?
For 3.652, this is plain language. The use of the term benefits recognizes that more than just the limited issue of continued TDIU benefits may be addressed by the rater or VA in the rating decision. It is certainly a plain language of the regulation. And the distinction between singular and plural disability or disabilities, benefits has been recognized as being significant.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Just.
The remainder of my time. Thank you.
Mr. Elias.
May it please the court, this case is about fees. It's not about any additional benefit flowing to the veteran. Appellant argues that he is entitled to fees because he filed a timely and valid NOD in response to the April 2014 rating decision. Yet the issues that he expressed disagreement with were unrelated to the matter determined in the April 2014 rating decision. Appellant asserted that he...
Can I ask a quick question? So other than TDIU, what other benefits are there for which VA requests certification, periodic updates?
Sure. Yes, 3.652 doesn't just apply to TDIU, but it would apply to other means-based benefits, such as pension, parent DIC. It could also apply outside the means-based benefits category to determine dependency. So rates of pay would go up and down depending on whether you're married, you have children, et cetera.
And so in the periodic, I mean, is it monthly or annual or, I mean, what raises the sort of certification?
Sure, it depends on the benefit in question. So for TDIU, on the anniversary date of the award for TDIU, we send a 21-4140, the employment questionnaire, and the veteran would have 60 days to return that. When the veteran returns that form, then we have the 3.652 framework. If you return the form within 60 days, your benefits continue, and there's no interruption. If you don't return the form under 3.652A1, the benefits continue, but we issue a proposed rating decision, send out another form, and give another 60 days for the veteran to return that. That's what happened in this case. So in November 2012, we sent out the 21-4140, the employment questionnaire, and that was not returned.
So in what sense was the April 2014 an adjudication? I mean, is it that the factors necessary for continued eligibility exist? Is that what was adjudicated?
Right, so we have a January 2014 proposed discontinuance of the TDIU award, and then we have the subsequent receipt of the employment questionnaire. So the April 2014 rating decision was merely putting closure to that and continuing the award of TDIU. So it was an adjudication in the sense that it was a continuation of the award of TDIU in light of the proposed January 2014 discontinuance and the subsequent receipt of the employment questionnaire.
So I have some questions about the record and the process here. I noticed that the board decision was focusing on no NOD being filed between September 2012, when there was a rating decision, and 2014, when there was this certification decision issued. Now, there was also a November 2011 rating decision. which granted TDIU and SMCS. And then, so what, this is what I didn't understand. So that decision was issued in November 2011. And then in September 2012, there was the September 2012 rating decision, which noted that a claim for increase had been received the date of the November 2011 rating decision. So did they receive something from the veteran that they characterized as a claim for increase there?
No, Your Honor. If I can give you the big picture of what happened in this case, in July 2008, there was a claim filed for pension. Mm-hmm. That pension was granted in October 2008. In November 2011, we have a NEMA review of the file. And that's where the November 2011 rating decision was, why the November 2011 rating decision was issued.
Right.
And in November 2011, the rating, the regional office noted actually at the top in the at the top of the decision in the introduction that another decision would be issued in, subsequently to address the residuals of some of the disabilities and also SMC. So that's why we have the September 2012 rating decision, and that's why the November 2011 rating decision is probably listed as the impetus to the September 2012.
So they didn't receive anything between the 2011 decision and the 2012 decision from the veteran?
Right, there were no claims.
And no NODs?
Correct.
No. I did see that the 2011 decision said that we're deferring the issue of some residuals of the CVA, and they also said an A&A, but the 2012 decision didn't address the higher level of SMC.
Right, and that was subsequently addressed in November 2014 in that rating decision, and that was part of the reasoning for the finding of Q in those two earlier rating decisions of November 2011 and September 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that clears that up. The appellant's counsel mentioned that the notice of appellate rights was included with the 2014 decision. Now, your position essentially is like, well, if we continue to certify the veteran for TDIU, which the 2014 decision did, why would they include a notice of appellate rights if it's completely unfavorable to the veteran?
Because under 19.25, we provide appellate rights in every decision, whether it's fully favorable or adverse. In every decision, as a matter of course, we provide appellate rights.
But your position here is that there's no, with your view of the scope of that decision, your view is that there was no way for a veteran to appeal that decision.
No, Your Honor. Appellant could.
What would he appeal?
He could very well appeal the continuance of the award of TDIU. Now, that would give us pause, and certainly it may trigger the RO into seeking clarification from the claimant. But he, under 20.201, there's no restriction to filing an NOD in response to a completely favorable decision.
Well, so what response would he give when the RO asked for clarification? What response could he give that would legitimize an NOD as to the 2014 decision?
Sure, and I recognize that the reason for your question, if I can say it that way, it would seem odd to disagree with a fully favorable decision, and the board decision notes that it wasn't appellant's desire to overturn the continuance of TDIU. But in terms of legality under 20.201, you could file an NOD in response to a fully favorable decision. For example, you could have just said, I disagree. Now, under the VA regulations, we would have to issue an SOC, and it would be a bit unusual because the SOC issue would be continuation of the award of TDIU. That was the issue in the April 2014 rating decision. But if I could take it back to our case, there was no NOD filed in this case. Not because there was
This isn't akin to a veteran saying, I disagree, and just
no, you are
kind of leaving it unclear what
No, he didn't. There was a problem with clarity, and the RO did follow up with appellant on that. But the problem with the April 2014 statement and the subsequent May 2015 statement wasn't because he left it unclear, but because he made it clear that what he was seeking was not to overturn the continuance of the TDAU award, but he was seeking separate evaluations for his heart condition, stroke, and SMC. Those were matters not adjudicated in the April 2014 rating decision, but adjudicated in the November 2011 and September 2012 rating decisions. So it was under 3.155, the RO construed it as an informal claim, and sure enough adjudicated that informal claim, resulting in the November 2014 rating decision.
And if, along with the certification of employment, he had submitted a piece of evidence about how severely disabled he was. What would VA's proper response have been to that?
Well, probably exactly what happened in this case, where we would construe it as an informal claim. If I could take a step back, 3.652 governs running awards, and it's one part of the VA disability system. It doesn't turn off the other regulations like 3.155 regarding informal claims and 3.157. So if the veteran, I want to say concurrently with the employment questionnaire, also submitted a statement of seeking benefits or separate benefits, that would be a new claim, and there'd be no conflict with 3.652.
And so, as far as the language that appellant is focusing on, the language in B, which talks about benefits will be adjusted accordingly, what's your interpretation of that?
Well, under 3.652 is regarding the running award. So in this case, what's in view here is TDIU. So the 3.652 is, let me take a step back, 3.651A1 is in regards to whether that employment questionnaire is not returned, and it provides the procedures there. 3.652B addresses when the form or the certification is returned. We're all talking about the same thing in 3.652, the benefits in question, the running award, not different benefits, such as appellant argues, SMC and TDIU. If I can clarify what I just said, here in 3.652, we're not addressing claim adjudication. We're addressing certification of the running award.
It's a simple, the switch is either turned off or on, or if it threatened had been turned off, it will remain on. There's no other adjudications attended to that.
Right, it was a 3.652 determination in April 2014 in light of the proposed discontinuance in January 2014.
And is this a plain language reading that you have, or are you asking for deference?
I believe this is plain language, Your Honor. Okay. For these reasons, we respectfully request that the court affirm the board's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Elias. Mr. Just.
Thank you.
So, Your Honors, counsel seems to be conflating the start or the prompting of a new initiation of a new claim with the issue of special monthly compensation. And this takes us back to Agles and Bradley and Payne, where it recognizes that special monthly compensation is not a claim. So I agree with opposing counsel that 3.652 and the recertification does not allow us to ignore the process for informal claims or formal claims, but that's not what we have in this case. Special monthly compensation and entitlement to special monthly compensation does not require the filing of a claim, formal or informal. It's an issue that can be raised at any moment. And here, there was a rating decision that addressed the veteran's disability rating, and the issue of entitlement to SMC was raised as part of the notice of disagreement.
But in cases where SMC is denied, if a veteran seeks to challenge that denial, that has to be done within an NOD filed within a year of that determination. Or you can wait 3 years and say, you know, I'm going to challenge the denial of that of SMC.
Yeah, so timing requirements for filing notice of disagreements and the traditional appeals process certainly applies to any adjudication, including special monthly compensation or entitlement to TDIU, even though they're ancillary benefits. They still have to be tied and grounded in some sort of adjudicatory process. So in this case, that rating decision was what initiated the ability to file the NOD and raise that ancillary issue. And if I may, Judge Toth, you had mentioned sort of that off and on switch where the claim is either, or an issue is either activated or it is not. And this is parallel. 3.652B is parallel to, for example, 3.655C, which deals with failure to report for an exam. That regulation specifies that if you fail to report for an exam, payment for disability or disabilities, plural, will be discontinued or reduced unless the veteran notifies VA that they are willing to report for an exam. So again, it's entirely consistent and parallel to 3.652B, where that does turn the process on. It was not initiated by the veteran, but the process was nonetheless turned on. And if in that case, VA issues a rating decision confirming and continuing or reducing the rating, based on whether or not the veteran reported for the exam or whether or not the veteran recertified for TDIU, the veteran is allowed to file a notice of disagreement disagreeing with a portion or some part of that determination. And here in this case, you know, the veteran clearly did not have the maximum allowable award. This wasn't a fully favorable decision, just as if a confirming and continuing based on an exam finding under 3.655 may not be fully favorable. Just because they're continuing the award doesn't mean that there is not some other benefit that the veteran can raise and bring to the attention of the VA.
Any room for settlement here?
We have not discussed that yet with the opposing counsel, but we certainly would be willing to engage in that discussion.
Any legal impediment to settling this case? I'm asking the secretary's lawyer. I'm not suggesting that you do or you don't on the merits. Is there any legal impediment to settling it?
May I have the court's indulgence for a moment?
Sure.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The settler would have to get the consent of the veteran, right? Because it would be a transfer of funds.
Yes, sir.
Right?
If there are no further questions, thank you. If we ask that the court find that Mr. Percivelli filed a valid notice of disagreement and is entitled to fees accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your arguments. The case is submitted for consideration, and the court is adjourned, and we will now come down and greet counsel.